Philippians, the fourth chapter, we're going to study this morning how to rejoice in difficult circumstances. How to rejoice. Can you handle it? How to rejoice in difficult circumstances. You say, Pastor Nichols, you just don't know how difficult my circumstances are. God's bigger than your circumstances. In Philippians, the fourth chapter, verse 4, God's word for us this morning is rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I want to read that one more time from Philippians, the fourth chapter, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord, how long? Always. And again, lest you forget it, I say rejoice. Rejoice. You see, we're to rejoice. Even when there's nothing to rejoice about, we can rejoice in the Lord. I don't know about you, but I don't always feel like rejoicing in my circumstances. But I can always rejoice in the Lord, and I can do it always, and I can keep on doing it, knowing what I know from Philippians, the fourth chapter. You see, this word rejoice is an interesting word. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but notice re, not just joyce or not just joy, but re. Which means to repeat. This is repetitive. Over and over. Never stopping. Making it a lifestyle. Every waking moment we should be rejoicing in the Lord. We're very scriptural when we sing, I just can't stop praising His name. But also scriptural when we say, I just can't stop rejoicing in the Lord. You see, what Paul is talking about is how to live up in down circumstances. How to stay positive in a negative world. How to rejoice in a sad world. In fact, if you rejoice, they'll think something's wrong with you, or they'll think you're on something. I was traveling somewhere, and the waitress asked me how I was doing. I said, it's the greatest day of my life. She almost dropped the coffee cup on me. She said, are you on something? I said, I sure am. She said, well, I thought so. But I said, let me tell you what I'm on. I'm on Jesus. I'm on the Holy Ghost. I'm on the gospel. What pill are you on? I'm on the gospel. Now, just for your information, this was written from jail. Now, if Paul could say rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, you ought to be able to rejoice in this lovely, comfortable auditorium with padded seats and a company of believers on every side. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. So we're to repeatedly rejoice. It's a repetitive thing. Over and over. Well, I just heard you rejoice a while ago. Well, forgive me that I ever stopped. Every waking moment, we ought to rejoice in the Lord and the power of His might. And again, I say rejoice. Now, let me give you some Bible reasons and Bible insights on how you can rejoice in difficult circumstances. How to rejoice always in the Lord in every circumstance of life. First of all, you make the choice, I'm going to stand fast in the Lord. I'm going to stand fast. In 1 Corinthians, the last verse of chapter 15, it said, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Purpose to stand fast in the Lord. Now, I know there's bound to be people here this morning, because the law of averages would certainly indicate that, who have made a mistake, or maybe you've sinned, or God forbid, maybe you've fallen. But did you know you can get up and dust yourself off and thank God for the cleansing of the blood of Jesus and purpose that this will not be a trap that will catch me again? See, Daniel purposed in his heart. You say, how could Daniel be such a strong man? Because he decided what he was going to do before he had the temptation. Daniel already had it figured out what was going to happen if they said, Daniel, you can't pray. You're going to a lion's den. He said, that's no problem. I've already made that decision. Hebrew children, you're going to a burning fire furnace. If you don't bend and bow, you're going to burn. They said, we won't bend, we won't bow, and it's up to God whether we burn. But we're not going to bend and we're not going to bow. It's so simple to just make that decision. No matter what happens, no matter who understands me and who does not understand me, no matter what my circumstances may be, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to honor God. I'm going to serve God regardless of circumstances. See, Joseph made that decision. The three Hebrew children made that decision. Daniel made that decision. And how many others in the Word of God purposed in their heart? Why, Paul said, I believe that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him. There's days I don't understand either. There's days I'm not able to see daylight either. But oh, this last week something has touched my heart as never before. While the Lord just reminded me of a verse that I stood on in some very difficult days in my life. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, thank God I have a building in the heavens not made with hands. If today's the last day of the rest of my life, I'm heaven bound. I'm out of here. There's a place prepared for me. Stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord. No one ever makes a mark in life, in the athletic world, in the academic world, in whatever it may be, unless they purpose, I'm going to give it everything I've got. I'm going all the way. It's not today I'll play football and tomorrow I won't play football. Or today I'll accomplish this or I'll not accomplish that. Oh, how many have gone through to getting their degrees and there were days when they thought, will I ever make it? But there was a day when they held that degree in their hand. You know, there's days in serving God you wonder what the outcome's going to be. But thank God there's going to be a day when you'll hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You're faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many. Come on in. Come on in. I have a place prepared for you. I mean, just settle it in your heart. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to tell the truth the first time when it seems like it doesn't make any difference. I'm going to do what's right when no one's looking. I'm going to stand fast in the Lord. I'm going to hold steady in a shaky world. I'm going to tell the truth when it seems like I'm surrounded with liars. I'm going to do what's right when it seems like no one really cares what's right. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to stand fast in the Lord. And you know, when you purpose in your heart, I'm going to stand fast in the Lord, that's one of the ways that you rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I can rejoice and be steadfast in shaky circumstances. May not understand, but by God's help and grace, I will stand. Secondly, you can rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, when you choose to be of the same mind in the Lord. That's called standing on God's Word. You know, there's something I've tried to build this church on, something I've tried to build my own personal experience in God on. What did God say about it? What does God's Word say about it? Not what does the popular opinion of ministries or churches or whatever. I mean, we've crossed grain for 32 years in this church. But it seems like I see a big grin up in heaven. You see, we're going to be in agreement with the Word of God. For in verse 2, he said, be of the same mind in the Lord. How can we all be of the same mind? Impossible in the natural, only through the Word of God. How many believe God said what he meant and he meant what he said? How many believe that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved? How many believe this promise is unto you and unto your children and unto as many as are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God has called? How many believe that if we do the right thing, God's going to bring us through? That God's going to take care of the enemies? That God's going to see us through? That's what I'm talking about. Be of the same mind in the Lord. That means in the Word. What does the Word say about it? Not what the newspapers say about it, not what the polls say about it, not what sometimes your family members may say about it, but what does God's Word say about this thing? The men that made it and the women who made it were those who based their life on the Word of God. So we can rejoice in the Lord to be of the same mind and stand on God's Word. I'll tell you, I couldn't tell you how many times, how many days, how many nights there are scriptures that I've stood on all night long. All night long I've quoted one verse. All night long. That verse I quoted a moment ago. While we look not at the things which are seen. Everything I see doesn't look promising. Everything I see tells me I can't make it. Everything I see screams impossibility. But while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things... Look beyond the seen. Look beyond the seen. See as God sees. For the things which are not seen are eternal. The things that are seen are temporal. Don't get shook up about what you can see. Look beyond and see it like God sees it. See the whole picture. Thirdly, I can rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice when I make the choice and make the decision that I'm going to help others. Notice what Paul said. Paul said, it's such a precious expression. In verse 3 of the 4th chapter of Timothy, he said, help those women which labored with me. Help those women. Be of help to them. Paul was so sensitive and so compassionate and so appreciative of the partners that God had placed in their lives. And obviously on this occasion there weren't many men that responded, but there were women that responded to help the Apostle Paul get the Word of God out. And Paul so tenderly, so compassionately said, please make sure that things are well with them. Help those women. And you know, this is one thing that I've discovered many, many years ago. When you have an area in your life where you need help, go help somebody else. Oh, I've gone out of my way to bless young people because I believe when you help others, you help yourself. When you help somebody else's marriage, you help yourself. When you help somebody else in need, you help yourself. See, that's the way it goes. I look around this place, we give away things we used to not be able to afford. We're giving away things that we used to not be able to afford. I remember when we had one beat up old van outside. I mean, it seemed like everybody drove it backed into something. And nobody seemed to remember when or where it happened. You know, that's the way things go with church property sometimes. I mean, we had an old Dodge van out there. It finally got so beat up, we gave it away, and they didn't want it when we tried to give it away. One time it was new, but stayed around a church too long, and we've kind of got a little firmer on the way we watch over things since then. But thank God today I look outside, and we've got one of the finest fleets in the Metroplex. You know why we have good equipment? Because we give it away. We've discovered the joy of giving. There's churches that have their church doors open today because of Calvary Cathedral on a monthly basis. And the business office knows that I tell the truth and I lie not. I met preachers this week that said our church doors would not be open except for the generosity of Calvary Cathedral. I believe when we help someone else, we help ourselves. How many times have we brought people in to sit and soak for a few days or a few weeks and see them leave renewed in the power and the fire of the Holy Ghost? When you help somebody else, you help yourself. Boy, what a joy it was to hand the keys to one of our van to Brother Isaiah Robertson and just say, praise God, we do this in the name of Jesus. Not to exalt us, but to exalt Jesus. Oh, he drove off with a grin on his face. Oh, he said he was happier than when he won football games. When you help somebody else, you help yourself. When you feed somebody else, you help yourself. When you put a set of tires on somebody else's car, you help yourself. Oh, I'm high on helping others. Because every time I help somebody else, I help myself. I help the church I pastor. I help my family. I help my children. I help my grandchildren. I don't want to be a stingy pastor, and I don't want to pastor a stingy church. Thank God for the joy of giving. Give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together. Running over shall men give unto your bosom. Well, nobody ever gives anything to me. When's the last time you gave away something that you really wanted? You'd be surprised at things people bring here and give it to us like they've given us a, you know, some big prize, and it was worn out and it was tired and it was no good. But I'll tell you, thank God. I don't know why I'm hung up on this morning. I guess it's because we've been doing so much giving lately. But I'll tell you, when you help somebody else, you help yourself. No one's going to get mine. That's right. Neither are you going to get the overflow. But I'm going to give it, and I'm going to get the overflow. I'll tell you what, there's no blessing in the world like just giving something away. And just don't care who gets the credit. Just let Jesus be Lord. You can rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice when you help others. We rejoice in the Lord always when we choose to make a lifestyle every day of our life of rejoicing in the Lord. I saw two of the most beautiful bluebirds this last week I've ever seen in my life. I didn't know they could be so blue. And then I thank God that I had eyes to see those bluebirds. And I thank God that I had health to be there. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Rejoice in the Lord always. I mean, when you don't have a dime, you can rejoice in the Lord. When you don't know where your next meal is coming from, you can rejoice in the Lord. You have just barely been able to come to church this morning, but rejoice that you got here. Let it be your lifestyle. Precious couple in our church has gone through a very dark valley and shadow. I called them to encourage them, and they encourage me. You know, this is the most unusual church. I call people in the midst of a difficult situation to encourage them, and they in turn encourage me. I believe some of you are listening to what we're preaching around here. I mean, call up someone that ought to be just throwing up their hands and saying there's no hope, and they turn right around on the telephone and start encouraging their pastor. What a church. What a church to pastor. Purpose, that it's your lifestyle to rejoice in the Lord. Every one of these is in verses. And in verse 5, we rejoice in the Lord when we choose to witness and share Jesus at every opportunity. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is coming. Witness at every opportunity. Witness at every opportunity. Witness at every opportunity. I just remembered a number of years ago when there was a cafeteria in downtown Fort Worth called Piccadilly Cafeteria, and I remember a kind of a gruff-voiced man by the name of Arthur Locke, an alcoholic that almost died and threw the keys in the street of Houston and said, "I'm going to hell the fastest way I can go." His business partner committed suicide in the same office, and Arthur Locke threw the keys out to their oil company and said, "I'm going to hell the quickest way I can go." And the quickest way he knew to do it was by the bottle, and he had a good head start. But oh, the grace of God, the grace of God, the grace of God saved Arthur Locke. And I never will forget when he was ministering here in the city, and we went down on Thanksgiving to have breakfast at the Piccadilly. And there used to be a man down there that had a little pencil thing on his back and a little container, and you drop coins and pencils. And I never will forget Arthur Locke. He always wore a black suit. He was a very dignified looking man. And I remember Arthur Locke, I started in the Piccadilly, and I looked around, and there's Arthur Locke in that black suit down on the sidewalk of downtown Fort Worth. And he had his arm around the man with a pencil, and he said, "Do you know my Jesus?" And the man looked up, and tears began to run down his cheeks, and he said, "I just accepted him last week, and I've just been praying someone would ask me that so I could say yes." Witness at every opportunity. Well, Brother Nichols, I don't know everything about the false doctrines and the cults and all those doctrines. Hey, just tell people what Jesus has done for you. The best witness is to say, "Let me tell you what Jesus did for me." You mention a church and you'll get in an argument before you get started. But start telling someone, hey, this is the way it was, and Jesus came to me, and Jesus changed my life. I've never had anybody argue with me when I told them what Jesus did for me. Now, if you want to talk about denominations and churches, you can get into it real quickly. But witnessing is all about, that's the way Paul witnessed. He said, you know, I just going down this road and this light shined from heaven. Some people said he was on a donkey and some people said he was walking. I don't know, but he was on the ground when it was all over. And he couldn't see. He couldn't see. And he said, this light shined. And he said, I met Jesus. I met Jesus. People, the way you witness, just ask somebody if they know Jesus. Just ask somebody if they know Jesus. You say, what if they get mad? Nothing lost. Nothing lost. We've got to get bold about this thing. Not obnoxious, just consistent. Do you know Jesus? I like to start off by, do you have a church that you attend? Nobody minds that. See, well, no, I really don't. And I know, that's an easy one. They think they've just right on through it. Well, you may not have a church or you may have a church, but do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus personally? Now we're getting, see, they thought they got off the hook, and then I come right back around and ask them if they know Jesus personally. Witness at every opportunity. And you know I'm telling you the truth. Every time you even witness, if you don't even win them to Jesus, you feel like you got saved all over again yourself. How many understand what I'm talking about? You feel like it happened to you all over again. Just telling someone else. Got to tell somebody. Got to tell somebody. Oh, we rejoice in the Lord always. Here's another one in verse 6. And there's three ways that we rejoice in the Lord always in verse 6. When we choose not to be anxious about anything. When we choose not to be... Well, Brother Nichols, I can do pretty well with this, with this, with that, with that. But this one's the one that really gets me. Yeah, that's what I'm talking to you about this morning. I mean, I'm hardly back into town and I'm proving what I'm talking about. I have all kinds of opportunities to be upset every day. I have all kinds of opportunities to be really upset every day. But you know, I've just found out that if you'll just smile and say, Lord, I trust in you with all of my heart and I lean not to my own understanding. There's nothing I can do about it anyway. In all my ways, I acknowledge you. And Lord, you're going to direct my paths. It's amazing how Jesus can run your business if you'll turn it over to him. It's amazing how Jesus can work out friendships and relationships and broken friendships and broken relationships if you'll just turn it over to Jesus. He's so good at that. He's so wonderful at that. So the Word of God tells us here in the 6th verse, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So there's three ways here in verse 6 how to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. First of all, don't be anxious about anything. Number 2, pray about everything. If it's worth worrying about, it's worth praying about. And if you pray properly, you won't worry about it. I want to say that one more time. If it's worth worrying about, it's worth praying about. And if you pray about it properly, you won't worry about it. You cast that care upon the Lord. And there was another one here, and that is that we celebrate Thanksgiving every day. I'll tell you, we ought to have turkey every day. We ought to have turkey and dressing and all the trimmings every day. What I'm talking about is Thanksgiving. How many know you can have Thanksgiving with pork and beans? Some of us have been there. Thanksgiving is not turkey and dressing and all the trimmings. Thanksgiving's in your heart, being thankful that things are as good as they are. I'll tell you, I'm so thankful that I know God. I'm so thankful that I'm in the ministry. I'm so thankful that I pastor this wonderful church. I'm so thankful for all my wonderful friends that God's given me. I'm so thankful that people want to hear what I have to say. It's almost getting embarrassing. I've got so many invitations and so many situations, but this is my first calling to be a pastor, and I joyfully do that. But oh, as I think about it, Thanksgiving every day. Check your pulse. Are you breathing? Still got a pulse? Well, then lift that hand up and thank God you're still breathing. Thank God you're here. You say, well, I kind of came in with a little bit of a limp. Well, thank God you got here. Every day we ought to celebrate Thanksgiving. Every day is Thanksgiving for a believer. Every day is Thanksgiving for a believer. I just noticed Brother Gary, he gets so happy up there. I just had to put my faith on the line. He finishes playing that thing. He got so happy the other night, he just spun off that organ and began to praise the Lord. Folks, there's not a thing in the world wrong with being thankful. A thankful heart is like a merry heart. It's like a medicine. Oh, be thankful unto the Lord. But Pastor, I lost $10,000 this week, but you're still alive. You still have faith in God. You can come back. That's just money. But you didn't lose your faith. You didn't lose the hope. You didn't lose the joy of the Lord. We still have so much to be thankful for. Money's just money. If you got faith, you can believe it back. I was preaching in a church, and this handsome black man came up, and he said, "Let me tell you my story." He said, "I used to have two Mercedes in my driveway, and good ones." And he told me the figure that he made, and he said, "I made good money." But he said, "Overnight, the job went and the Mercedes went." And I said, "What are you doing now?" He said, "I kept my door opener and I ride my bicycle into the garage and use my door opener." And he said, "Every time I come into my garage, I say, 'New cars cometh back one of these days.'" But he said, "In the meantime, I'm riding my bicycle, got my garage door opener on my bicycle." And he said, "I'm praising the Lord. I still have two good legs that can ride a bicycle." I preached in that church a couple of years later, and I spotted him and I said, "How's it going?" He said, "Restoration." Restoration. Why, if that had happened to the average individual, they'd have jumped off the Trinity Bridge down here. But he said, "I still have two good legs to ride my bicycle. I still have my garage door opener. And I still have my faith in God." He was thankful. He was praising God. I like people like that. I knew a man that personally observed Zig Ziglar before he became a great success. Zig Ziglar used to have to park his car 10 or 12 blocks from downtown Dallas, where they didn't charge for parking meters or to park on a lot. Zig Ziglar at one time put cardboard in his shoes because he was wearing shoes that he couldn't afford to resole. But he pressed his suit and had a smile, and he showed up for work. And he'd park his car, and he'd be there every day. And he just kept the switch of faith turned on. And many of you know the story behind the story. Most people would have quit, but Zig Ziglar refused to quit. And so today, he's blessed. He's blessing to others. We were down in the islands the other day, and I heard someone's radio playing. It was Zig Ziglar teaching on the family. Right in the middle of a very third world situation, I thought, oh, thank God. Thank God, the man with cardboard in his shoes, the man that parked his old car down away from downtown Dallas, thank God he refused to quit. So today he has enough money to get the gospel out, and it's being preached all over the world. Hey, that's what God calls a winner, not a whiner, a winner. Faith people aren't whiners, they're winners. So in verse 6, we rejoice in the Lord always by choosing not to be anxious about anything, praying about everything, and celebrating thanksgiving every day. Have two more. We rejoice in the Lord always when we get into the peace of God and let nothing disturb that peace. You know, the best things in life really are free. It doesn't cost to have the peace of God. It costs not to have the peace of God. Never will forget in 1981, first time anything like that ever happened to us, someone gave us an all-expense-paid trip to Hawaii. Thought I'd died and gone to heaven. We'd come through a very difficult time here, and they wanted to bless us, and how beautiful that expression was. And I remember one night I started to bed, and the peace of God just kept going over in my heart, and I just happened to have my Strong's Concordance with me. And Joyce said, "I'm sleepy. I'm going to go to sleep." And I said, "Well, I'm going to study for a little while." And you know, so help me God, all night long I studied the peace of God. And I went through the Old Testament. I found out that it was shalom. And I found out in the New Testament it was irene. And almost every buzz verse that talks about the real peace of God such as thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Such as the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ. I mean, those strong, strong verses of promise, all of them. In the Old Testament it was Shalom, in the New Testament it was Irene. And when the sun came up in Hawaii the next morning, I still had my concordance open, and my troubled soul was at peace. My troubled mind was at peace. And I'd made a new commitment. I'm going to walk in peace. I'm not going to walk in pressure and turmoil. I'm not going to walk in confusion. I'd come through a very pressured time. When the sun rose the next morning, I'd made my decision. I'm going to walk in peace. I'm going to think in peace. I'm going to live in peace. I'm not going back to that old confusion and pressure and turmoil. You can live in the Shalom Irene, peace of God. The Bible just said the peace of God that passes all understanding. Your understanding will blow your heart and it'll blow your mind. That's what happens to people that break down mentally and even in heart. Many a person will say, my thinking just ran wild. It's like a shutter on a camera. But oh, right now I can say in the name of Jesus, I don't know what to do about it. I don't know what the answer is. Lord, I've done everything I know how to do, and I don't know what else to do. So I'm just going to rest and trust in the peace of God that passes all understanding to keep my heart and my mind through Christ Jesus. Get in peace and stay in peace. It's a stress buster. It's a depression buster. It's a fear buster. Just get into peace. If you're born again, you can do it. If you're born again and you believe in the Word of God, you can get into peace. God doesn't want you young people all stressed out about your education. God doesn't want you businessmen all stressed out about your business. God doesn't want parents all stressed out about their children or children stressed out about their parents. Just say, I trust in the Lord with all my heart. I lean not to my own understanding. In all of my ways I acknowledge God, and He will direct my paths. Get in peace and stay there. Just get into it. I mean, when you feel pressure coming on, you can feel a headache coming on. When you feel that pressure coming on, just say, I refuse that pressure. No, I'll not open that door. No, 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 I'm not going to answer that phone call. I'm talking about spiritually now. Just say, I'm in the peace of God. I'm in the peace of God. Close your eyes. See those children as disciples taught of the Lord, obedient unto God's word and will in all things, that great is their undisturbed peace and composure. See that business lining up. See those people in your life that are in the midst of dishonesty or strife or confusion, that God's going to either change them or move them out. That God's going to either change them or move it out. Get in peace and stay there. They'll think you're on something. People are so tired of seeing your sad face, they just welcome seeing a big believer's grin from ear to ear. Get in peace and stay there. Just get there. I'm just like you are. Sometimes I wake up 3 o'clock in the morning. Devil tries to bother me about 2 or 3 things. Something about this or that or the church. Or the. I say, whoa, this is my sleep time. No, I don't buy into this. I can't change it at 3 o'clock in the morning anyway. So, Father, I just put that in your hands, and I'll talk to you about it in the morning. And Satan, you get out of here. One more. I guess we've said it in many ways, but maybe we'll clarify it. We rejoice in the Lord always when we take charge of our thought life. I said when we take charge of our thought life. If you think temptation, you'll do it. If you think wrong thoughts, you'll pursue them. If you meditate upon evil, you'll find yourself one day saying, well, I just don't know what happened to me. I'll tell you what happened to you. You've been thinking about it. Now, I'm going to tell you, you can pray about these things and you can take authority in the Word of God and God will see you through. Take charge of your thought life. I mean, that'll cut out about 99% of your television. I mean, there's a few other things that'll have to go in your life. But notice in Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, it pays to do the right thing. I mean, I heard about it, and then someone handed this to me this morning. A little news article said, first mourner finds it pays to pray. The Spanish businessman felt the need to pray and stopped in a German cathedral church. And when he went to pray, there happened to be a coffin there, and there was someone lying in state. Well, he saw that, so he prayed, and something there, I guess, was an invitation to pray for the deceased. And he signed his name to the book. I think it was, I don't see the exact time, but just a short time later, an attorney called him and said that it was in this man's will that anyone who came and prayed and signed the book would inherit a certain amount of money. He was the only man that prayed and the only man that signed the book. And the attorney had $1 million for him. It pays to pray. I can see some of you knocking on some. Funeral director's door saying, gonna. It pays to pray. It really pays to pray. It really does. 1 million reasons that it pays to pray. I bet that man goes to church every day now. Priest probably has to run him out of church. Just comes in there clipping coupons, grin on his face. It pays to pray. Take charge of your thought life. Stop thinking those negative, defeated, pessimistic, I'll never amount to anything. I was born wrong. The color of my skin's wrong. What might have been, should have been, ought to have been, could have been. Just take the nail-scarred hand of Jesus and walk out of the pit into the palace. Think on these things. Before you think it, say, is it true? Well, you know, don't think it. Is it honest? Well, yeah, you know. Is it just? Is it lovely? Is it good report? Is there any virtue? Is there any praise? Think on these things. So in the midst of sickness, think and believe healing. In the midst of disaster, think and believe deliverance. In the midst of the bottom dropping out, just say, my God is going to take care of it all. And rejoice in the Lord always. And by the way, this is not optional. You either do it and go over, or you don't do it and you go under. But you can do it. Why don't we do it?